This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis and the Mid-South station you can count on. Live on the radio.com free app.
I'm trying to stay up on my iPhone. Tell my bitch I love you.
That was Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show. Presented by the Wayne Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
She gon' make me psycho. Everything I've been through. Something only I know. Hey, I'm a legend just like Michael. My bitch is ungrateful, so I'm out with my side. She gon' treat me different.
Floyd Reese is the former general manager of the Tennessee Titans. You can hear him on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Took part in the Golic and Wingo NFL mock draft on ESPN Radio this morning, and he joins us now. Hey, Floyd, good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're hanging in there, as best we can. Before we get into the picks of the draft and the Titans and what they may do, the logistics of this one are obviously different from any that you took part in, any that we have ever seen. Do you have any level of skepticism, any level of doubt about how this draft is going to be carried out?
Yeah, I'm scared to death, I guess. You know, it could be... It could go through without a single hitch. We all know that. But I've been in too many draft rooms where, you know, you've got 10 minutes and it's down to the last minute 20 and somebody calls with a trade you weren't expecting that's a good trade, and now you have to go through the logistics of, you know, do we want to make the trade? Can we make the trade? Do we have enough cap room for the trade? When you're all in one room, you know, I could literally look at each one of those guys. You know, do we have enough? Yes. Do we want to? Yes. Do we? But I'm afraid with the technology and, you know, how are you going to get to all those guys? Can you get to them? And that's not even considering the glitches. You know, you take into consideration how long we all in the media have been working from home. And the number of glitches you've seen on TV, you've seen on CNN, you've seen on Fox, you've seen on all the stations where somebody at home just all of a sudden goes blank, or, you know, the sound is gone, or the Wi-Fi goes out, or the all of those kinds of things. So I think as a GM, when you're in a position where you have to troubleshoot all that, you know, it's a little bit more frightening than it usually is.
I wonder, for all those reasons that you just laid them out, and I think that's much of the concern, do you have a less chaotic in terms of trades, that kind of thing? I'm sure those last-minute ones like you just talked about, surely a few of those will get clipped. But in terms of trades, period, how much do you think it'll affect? Do you think we'll have chaos tonight, or people, maybe they are a little bit more reserved? Less likely.
No, I think it'll be active. I mean, I think it's going to be. I think this is more of a need draft, simply because I'm not sure people have enough information on every guy that we're talking about that you can, in your own mind, rate them exactly where they should be. I think if you look at some of these mock drafts and where they have, you know, you just take a person, not the top guys, but, you know, say from 10 to 15, 10 to 20, take those guys, and you'll find them anywhere from 15 to the second round.
Yep.
You know, you'll find them at 15, you'll find them at 30. I mean, they're all over the place. Consequently, I think a lot of teams are going to look at it that way and, you know, have in the back of their mind, okay, if I don't get up to number 16, I'm not going to have a chance with this guy. And consequently, we'll see a little bit more activity, if you will. Maybe not major. You know, maybe not, you know, I want to go to one or I want to go to two. Sure. But I think after that, there could be a lot of jockeying around.
Yeah. In terms of once the draft begins, I mean, I think that we assume and pretty much know at this point that Joe Burrow is going with number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. What's interesting, though, Floyd, is that, like, you know, you talk to pretty much anybody about Joe Burrow. He had an unbelievable year at LSU. There's no question about it. He's deserving of the being the first overall draft pick. But you don't really hear anybody express any concern. Like, that worries me a little bit. Like, people just assume he's going to be awesome because he was awesome at LSU. And it's not like Cincinnati is this ready-made situation. I mean, we have seen, whether it's, you know, David Carr in Houston, you think about Joey Harrington in Detroit. I mean, sometimes quarterbacks are thrown into situations that aren't necessarily friendly for the quarterback, and you don't see them recapture that talent. It just doesn't happen. Are you worried about that at all with Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be. You know, you have to. And I think in my mind it was always this kind of a discussion. He played for the best team in the country, had a group of receivers better than he'll have at Cincinnati, had an offensive line that was pretty good, a defensive line that was pretty good, and a running back that's going to be drafted in the first couple of rounds. So was he carrying the team, or was he part of the team? And I think if you're looking for somebody to come in and be your franchise quarterback, you're looking for somebody that is going to pick the team up. And you know, the question is he that guy? Can he go into Cincinnati and have Cincinnati playing better than they've played in the last, you know, 10, 12 years? I don't know that. But and it's a tall order. You know, I'm not sure anybody in this draft could do it. And so you're saying to yourself, okay, what's the risk here? What's it worth? And yet everybody knows quarterback is the most important position in any professional sport, in my opinion. You have to have one. And as we see year after year after year, franchises are willing to risk their future in an attempt to get that guy.
If you were drafting for the Redskins, Floyd, you messing around or you taking Chase Young? I remember back in the day you took Javon Kearse. Now you took him much lower than two. What'd you get him at, 16?
Yeah, 15, 16.
15, 16. Is Chase Young the guy you'd take it to if you're the Skins?
Yeah, I think I'd have to. I mean, I think he's probably the most ready to jump into the NFL and potentially have an impact. You know, be a guy that could come in and maybe give you 10, 12, 14 sacks, which in the NFL is an impact. So I think I would have to take him. I think probably he and the Simmons kid from Clemson are the most, you know, if there are sure things, they're probably the closest to the sure thing from the standpoint that they've all got size, they've all got athleticism, they've all got speed. They've, you know, if you have 10 things on a checklist, both of those guys check off all 10.
There you go.
So what is it, Floyd? I mean, everything you touch seems to turn to gold. I mean, you drafted Eddie George, you drafted Javon Kearse, uh-huh. You drafted, you know, Steve McNair. I mean, what was it, man? I mean, did you just have the magic touch, or was this about your process? What made your process so foolproof, it looked like?
No, that's all sheer luck. I mean, all that.
Stop.
I mean.
I got to ask you, how sure were you when you took Steve McNair at number 3 in 95, in terms of your conviction level when it came to guys, how sure were you on McNair that he was going to be what he was going to be?
You know what? Again, I don't know if it was luck or ignorance or what, but I felt I was convinced. I mean, I was absolutely sure. Now, that being said, after the draft, a good friend of mine, Carl Peterson, who was with Kansas City Chiefs, called me up and right after the draft, and he said, man, what a gutsy call, you know, way to go. And he made it sound like it was a long shot. And I said, Carl, this isn't a sure thing. And he said, I don't think it's a sure thing. I said, oh, okay. I had to think about it a little bit after that.
Well, yeah. There was doubt because of where he was coming from, right? I'm sure it was all around you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was quite interesting, as you can imagine, because you know, and Kerry Collins was coming out of Penn State, and
that's
this
right.
Is a Burrow kind of story. But, you know, people used to ask me, okay, well, how's McNair, how would he do at Penn State? And I said, let's think about this now. He's going to go from Alcorn to the number one team in the country where you've got three or four other guys that are going to be first-round draft choices, one of the best coaches ever. You've got better food, better training, better everything.
Uh-huh.
I said,
yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that. I said, the real question here is how would Kerry do at Alcorn State?
Oh, well,
and I thought, you know, everybody would go, oh, man, that would be tough. And I said, exactly. That's why I'm excited about Steve.
Interesting. Yeah, obviously it worked out very well. We are, of course, talking to Floyd Reese, former general manager of the Tennessee Titans, now doing some radio in Nashville, 102.5 The Game. What was important to you in this process? I mean, was it was obviously, you know, production is the first thing. But in terms of how much weight did you put into, you know, one-on-one interviews? How much stock did you put into your decision-making when it came to, you know, these guys' ability to answer tough questions in one-on-one situations?
Yeah, it became more and more important. You know, now I think it's even more important. I mean, let's face it, two-thirds of the guys that are going to be drafted in these upper two rounds have the athleticism, a skill set that should allow them to play in the NFL. All the determining factors, the reasons as to whether or not they're an all-pro or whether or not they're a bust, is generally all the other stuff. You know, how hard is he going to be willing to work? What's his makeup? Is he going to be instinctive enough? Is he going to be mentally tough enough? Is he going to be all those things that in the NFL, you know, you can't put a number on? And consequently, when, you know, I always felt like when you draft a guy and you bring him in and he's got all the tools and yet he doesn't work out for whatever reason, it's always all those other things. You know, it was more important to go down on Beale Street and party than it was to, you know, go work out in the off season.
Yeah, certainly. All right, so you took part in the Golic and Wingo mock draft earlier today, Titans picking at 29th. You got him taking the TCU cornerback, Jeff Gladney. Obviously, you know, that's been an area for the Titans the last couple of years that have needed some shoring up, and I'm assuming that's what you believe they would accomplish if they do indeed take Jeff Gladney there at 29.
Yeah, I mean, as we know, you know, Logan Ryan was that extra corner for us for the last couple of years and was outstanding. For whatever reason, and I really don't know, you know, who's being stubborn here, who's balking, who may not be in love with the other, but between the Titans and he right now, you know, they haven't come to a deal. So, you know, we're stuck with really two legitimate corners and then a bunch of question marks. And so, you know, that suddenly has become a big need for them. They've got to go out and find somebody that can come in and play. Gladney is a great combination of versatility. He can play on the outside or he can play nickel corner. He played a lot of man-for-man press. He can play man-for-man off. He can play zone. He can blitz. He can help you with rundown in the core. He's a little edgy, you know. I mean, he plays with a little chip on his shoulder, and I think all those things will help him. But I think all the versatility and the things that he can do for you would fit in perfectly with this scheme.
If you're trying to get a tackle too or somebody up front to help you, you like this draft for that? It seems to me pretty deep at that position among several others, but if you're trying to get a tackle too, if you're the Titans, you like what's out there?
Yeah, oh yeah, there's a good group. And I think that, you know, we all know about the guys at the top. I think there's four guys at the top that really are, you know, among the elite. Then there's a recess in there for a little bit. And then I think at the end of the first and well into the second, there's going to be another big group of guys that will come in, and they may be, you know, they may be a half inch shorter than one of the first guys. They may be 15 pounds lighter. They may be a tenth slower in a 40, all those kinds of things. But there's still guys that are going to come in and play.
Yeah. And then there appears to be some chatter now, Floyd, about Justin Herbert moving into the top five, perhaps the Dolphins taking him at five. And obviously, this would have great implications on Tua. Does this, in your mind, suggest that teams are more concerned about his health than they were maybe 2 weeks ago, or do you think this is just smoke?
No, well, no, I wouldn't be surprised if there are teams more concerned about his health. I mean, you know, that, and I've told people this before. I mean, the hip injury he had was truly significant. You know, that is an auto accident type impact injury. I mean, they're serious. But if you're okay with that, you know, if Dr. Bird and some of these experts look at it and say, okay, that's fine, we're not going to have a problem with it, then you have to say, well, okay, now, he's played, you know, a year and a half of college ball. He's had two ankles operated on. He's had a wrist that required work. He's had a hip injury they had to operate on. I mean, that's a lot of injuries playing behind – you know, one of the better offensive lines and one of the better teams in college football for his entire career, that's a lot of injuries to, you know, in such a short time. And I think I don't think a team could help but be concerned.
Hey, Floyd, man, this was awesome. We appreciate the time,
you,
as always. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Yep. Pleasure.
He is Floyd Reese, who, man, was a master drafter. I mean, even Vince Young, he drafted Vince Young. Vince Young made two Pro Bowls, you know what I mean?
He was NFL Rookie of the Year. He drafted three NFL Rookie of the Years, Eddie George, Javon, Vince Young. It's crazy. Stephen McNair didn't win Rookie of the Year, but he was a co-MVP, co-NFL MVP. So, I mean, you talk about, and he got McNair in 95 at number three. He took Vince Young in 06 at three. But he got Eddie George at 14, and he just told the story about Curse dropping down to him at 16 in 99. My goodness.
The Jeff Calkins Show.
Sadly, because we talked about this before the show, I don't know if you were in the same place I was before we talked about it before the show, but I think so. I don't think there's going to be a lot of divergence, certainly at the top. With the first pick of the Jeff Calkins Show mock draft, I'm going with Joe Burrow to Cincinnati. You?
Number one.
Joe Burrow, number one, to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. With the second pick in the Jeff Calkins Show mock draft, Chase Young.
Number two.
Indeed, Chase Young.
Chase Young, defensive end, Washington Redskins. So he was on this morning, Golic and Wingo, and they are going to do a, here's what I think is going to happen with these parties. They're going to have people there. They're going to be hiding in the other room. They're going to be in the closet. They're going to be like, he said, oh, I'm just going to have a few friends over and my family. And then they have a giant projector outside their house where other people can drive up or whatever. Do you believe there's going to be strict social distancing? I think from that perspective, the draft's going to be a nightmare. Don't you think?
I think on camera, there will be
on camera,
strict
it'll
social
look
distancing.
So, yeah, exactly right.
By the way, though, you can bet on who Joe Burrow will hug first.
Mother.
That's what I said.
It's going to go mother.
And she's a pretty heavy favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the guy. Yeah, you got to be the mother. Yeah. Okay. If there's any other prop bets you want to drop in along the way, by all means, do so. Number three.
Number three.
Who are you going with? I'll let you go first here.
I'll say the Lions will take Okuda.
I think absolutely they'll take Okuda. I don't want them to take Okuda. I want them to take one of the, I want them to screw with the Dolphins, honestly. I want them to extract something.
You want
something.
Them to ruin their plan.
But here's the truth. That organization is a mess.
Uh-huh.
And everyone hates the head coach, and the head coach is about to get fired, and so he needs a...
All the drama of Belichick without the wins.
And they just chased off a defensive back. They need a... all the drama of Belichick without the wins. They just need the player who will help them win most this year in order to save his job, right?
Yes.
I hate when my team gets to that point where it's about the coach rather than the future of the program.
Right, because there's no how do we build a team? It's, okay, what can we do? Like, quick fix.
And I don't doubt that Okuda will be a very good player. I don't doubt that. But anyway, so the Lions, I think, take Okuda. So here's where...
And for the record, I don't think I would ever take a corner in the top five.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.